Bibles, if you would please, this morning turn to the book of Romans in chapter number 1, the book of Romans in chapter number 1, if you would please, this morning, thought that the Lord's placed upon my heart. Matter of fact, I've been certainly meditating and thinking about these particular verses of Scripture for several days and trying to get together some thoughts that the Lord would have us to bring here this morning, and I pray they'll be a blessing and help. And the challenge to you, and again, especially if you don't know Christ today, that certainly today would be the good day that you come trust Him as your Savior. I said Ladies Circle meeting was at 6. It's actually at 6:30. And so I want to correct that if you ladies are interested in going to that meeting on Tuesday evening. That is 6:30 at the Fellowship Building. Romans chapter number 1. I'm going to start reading this morning down in verse number 18. And certainly as you find Paul here writing to the church at Rome, you'll find certainly the book of Romans is a great book. You'll find as Paul writes to this church, he deals with a lot of doctrinal issues. He deals with a lot of different things as far as writing to this church. You could take the book of Romans and you could win the whole world as far as that's concerned. Of course, it's all the gospel. It's all the good news. It's all the word of God. But certainly the book of Romans is a very special book. A lot of great things certainly in the book of Romans. But here in chapter number 1, we see, again, Paul writing to this church, of course, addressing this church. We see his greeting, his introduction, and certainly some other things, certainly about the ministry that God's called him to, and as he's writing to this church to encourage them and help them, and also to you and I this morning through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But chapter number 1, in the latter part, the middle of the latter part of this chapter, begins to deal with the mindset and how certainly the world in which we live in, not only that they lived in, but you and I lived in, certainly that they were guilty before God. And we see that certainly some progression of some things here in chapter number 1 that he writes about. And so God began to deal with my heart. And I want to give you the title this morning. Then we're going to read the scripture and give you some thoughts today. But the title for the message is simply would be this, The Battle for the Mind. The Battle for the Mind. You say, well, preacher, I thought this salvation thing had to do with the heart. And certainly it does, and we understand that this morning. But I truly believe that process begins in the mind. And today I want you to understand what you think, what you think about the gospel, the word of God today, and different things certainly determines what you believe. And so this morning we're living in a time where the mindset of people is so different than I believe than any time that I've ever seen, certainly in my lifetime. And I believe we see that Paul deals with that thought process here somewhat in the first chapter of the book of Romans. So I pray that we'll be attentive. I pray that we'll let the Spirit of God speak to us here this morning and certainly give us some things to think about as we think about the battle for the mind. And so I want you to make a note of that and certainly think about that as we read the Scriptures and bring you the thoughts. If you found your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the Word of God. If you're able to stand, if you're not able, then certainly that's okay. I want you to notice in Romans chapter number 1, the Bible says in verse number 18, I'm going to start verse number 18, the Bible says, For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because they which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath, watch it now, showed it unto them. Verse 20 says, For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Now notice that. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Notice this next phrase that Paul makes here in verse number 20. He says, So that they are without excuse. So that they are without excuse. Verse 21, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. I'm going to stop reading there this morning, but I would encourage you to go on and continue to look at the progression that Paul is writing about here to this church. It even gets worse from here. And opening this morning and looking at this right here in the year 2017 certainly is just as fresh now as we begin to look at the world in which you and I live in this morning. And so I want us to think about this thought again this morning for a few moments. The battle for the mind. The battle for the mind. Let us pray. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for all your blessings that you bestowed upon us. Lord, for health and strength and certainly this opportunity and privilege to be back in your house this morning. We thank you for this good number. Lord, I pray your richest blessings upon each and every family, each and every individual this morning. And Lord, I thank you for the teaching. I thank you for the singing, the testimonies. Lord, all this has been done in your name. I thank you for your precious word. And I pray now, Father, as your servant, as I stand here for just a few moments this morning, God, I pray you'd anoint these lips of clay. Lord, I pray you'd give me, Lord, the very thoughts upon my heart and upon my mind today, Lord, that would be a help and a blessing and a challenge to each and every one of us here this morning, because it is truly important, the things which we think about, the things which we let influence our minds. We realize that, Father, it does certainly influence what we believe. So I pray here today that, Lord, you'll touch. I pray that you'll help. I pray that for the Christian, you'll encourage us and challenge us, realizing we're facing very challenging times, Father, around us for the people that we deal with in trying to win them to Christ. But then also this morning, I pray for those that could be here today that's never trusted you as Savior. I pray that you would open up their hearts and their minds. And I pray the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, would speak to them today. And, Lord, this very day they'd find their place, Lord, in this altar this morning, crying unto you, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, we love you today. Thank you for the living word of God. Again, touch us, anoint us, and help us. And, Lord, we're going to thank you and praise you for what you're going to do. In Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious word of God. Now, I realize this morning that time certainly is moving quickly, but just hang in there with me this morning. I got some thoughts that I want to share with you today from these verses of Scripture. And certainly I can't cover all these verses this morning, but again, there's some things that I feel like the Lord would have us to share with you today in thinking about the battle for the mind. Again, today, as we consider the human mind and the thought process of so many in our society today, I believe this morning it is very evident that Satan has corrupted the thinking of so many concerning God. The Lord Jesus this morning certainly corrupted the thinking not only concerning God, but also the Bible, His Word, also concerning their fallen, depraved condition today, and certainly also what takes place after we take our last breath on this side of eternity. And so I believe Satan has truly corrupted the thought process of so many people today. And I believe this morning, not only out in the world, but also sitting upon the church pew today, I'm afraid so many people have been corrupted in their way of thinking. Now let me say this morning before I move on. God is always right. His word is always right. I do not have to put a question mark where God's already put a period. But I believe we're living in that time where so many people are trying to question the very Word of God in their thought process this morning. And so today I pray that God again would speak to us and help us here today as we consider the battle for the mind. Let us each this morning consider certainly the importance again of how we think and what we think, and the consequences or the blessings that come along with how we think and what we think, and again, the battle for our mind, because it does matter, because as I've already said, what or how we think determines what we believe. And so this morning, I want to deal with that subject for a few moments. You know, as you think about the human mind, it's a very complex organ as far as within the human body. I guess it's probably out of all the organs, certainly we need them all, but the human mind, the brain, certainly is one of the most complex, certainly organs that we have. And there's one thing about the God who made us. He certainly gave us a brain, a mind in which we can use to think for ourselves and certainly this morning either make the decision to listen and to follow him, or you can make that decision to reject him and turn him away. It's entirely up to you. But I'm telling you what, there's so much corruption in the way of people's thinking as we look around the world that we live in today. I've never seen a time where people think in the manner in which they think. Some people think that they can call themselves Christians and go out and live like the world and do anything that they want to. But friend, where God's already put a period, don't put a question mark. Because I'm going to tell you today, if you're truly a child of the living God, then certainly there's going to be some kind of desire in our hearts to live for him, to live right and do right. But we're living in the day where everybody, some way or another, thinks that they're going to go to heaven when they die. Friend, there can be nothing further from the truth. Let me say this morning, friend, if you're here without Christ, yes, you can go to heaven. Yes, you can know Christ today. Yes, you can have a personal relationship with the Son of God this morning. But friend, you must accept him. You must, as they sang so wonderfully today, realize that you're lost, that you need a Savior, and receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. Because I'm going to tell you today, friend, you can't be saved today and go out and live like you want to live without God come calling. I'm glad, hallelujah, for the chastisement of God. I'm glad this morning, if you're truly his today, that friend, I'm going to tell you this morning, he's going to come calling. He's going to let you know. I'm telling you today, friend, but there's such a thought process taking place in the minds of individuals today that they don't truly consider what God has left us in his word. So I pray this morning that God again will help us here today. Again, the human mind being very complex. And as we think about the human mind, of course, when we think about the mind, we think about the mind where seeds of doubt are planted. We think about, when we think about the mind, not only do we think about seeds of doubt, we think about discouragement, we think about depression, we think about so many things that are birthed within the mind, and certainly again affect how we believe, what we do, and certainly how we live our life. Now, as I think about the battle for the mind, I want to talk first of all this morning to those that are saved and to the Christians today, because even though that we're saved, there's still a great battle going on for the thought process in our minds today. Listen, we're attacked from every side and from every angle. I'm telling you, there's always someone trying to question the God in which we know and serve and love today. There's somebody always trying to question his word. There's always somebody trying to question that which God has already established. Friend, I'm telling you this morning, there is an attack upon our minds today. And if the devil can get you to think in those kind of thoughts, he begins to sow those seeds of doubt, those seeds of discouragement, then soon will come those seeds of depression. I'm telling you, we're living in a very depressed time as far as spiritual things concerned. I believe probably across our land, there's more depression today than there's ever been. But listen, God doesn't want us to. Now listen, I'm not taking anything away from folks that might have that difficulty today or anything like that. But listen, I'm glad this morning in a God that's big enough to save me, is big enough to keep me, is big enough to look after me, is big enough to send me the encouragement when I need it. Listen, I'm glad God's still on the throne. I'm glad he's still in control. I'm glad he's still able. I'm glad he's still able to meet my needs. I'm glad he's able to meet your needs. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a Savior. What a Savior this morning. I want to speak to you this morning for just a few moments about the Christian, and I've got to hurry, but as we think about the battle for the mind, I want to give you a couple of verses of Scripture. They're very familiar to you, but let me give them to you this morning quickly. I thought about, first of all, for the Christian, that as far as the battle for our minds and keeping our minds right and guarding our minds, number one, there needs to be a continual renewing of our mind. According to the same book of Romans in chapter number 12 and verses number 1 and 2, Paul writes, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." How are you going to do that? He gives us the answer in verse number 2. "And be not conformed to this world. What I've already said. Listen, friend, just because you call yourself a Christian today doesn't mean that you are. You must be blood washed. You must be born again. You must have a relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says something in verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Watch it now. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For the child of God this morning, there needs to be a continual renewing of our minds. Why? Because the mind is always under attack. Well, preacher, I don't ever have any problem with that. Well, friend, I'd like to talk to you after the service. You might ought to write a book. I tell you, you could get rich and get rich quick. But, friend, I'll tell you what, there is a battle going on in our minds, in our hearts, and I understand that. But I believe it begins in the mind because it does matter. It does matter. It does matter what you think, how you think, because it determines what you believe. Amen. And for the child of God this morning, for those that are saved in blood washed this morning, born again, we need to have a continual renewing of our mind. Let me give you something else for the Christian today as far as the battle for our minds. Not only the continual renewing of our minds, but secondly, that we not be carnal minded. That we be not carnal minded. Romans chapter 8 and verses 6 and 7, the Bible says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen. Are you getting that this morning? Amen. To be spiritually minded is to be life and peace. That means I can live with peace not only in my heart, but I can live with peace in my mind. I can live with peace with one another as far as the children of God, with faith, and all those things this morning that I don't have time to get in today. But today we need to guard our mind, not only in a continual renewing, but also not to be carnally minded. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. In other words, the carnal mind is an enemy against God. And I'm afraid today, now I can see everybody just interested in what I'm preaching this morning, so I'm just going to go ahead and preach it anyhow, just hold on. But I'm afraid too many people sitting in the church pew today has become so carnally minded, so that word carnal means fleshly or worldly minded, that we have begun to think with a different thought process than what we used to think with. I think about saints of God that have passed on and gone from this world to the next. If so many of them could come back today, what they would say about the condition, not so much maybe, I mean, if they should look in the world that we're living in today, it would really blow their mind of where we've become, how people think. I mean, we're a divided nation. We're a divided people today. Simply because, and I believe it all began with the thought process that so many people have today. Again, not regarding God, not regarding the Bible, not regarding anything about Him today, but trying to dismiss it, trying to argue over it. I'm telling you, we're living in that. If they could come back today, I'm telling you, they'd be shocked out of their shoes. But I'm afraid if a lot of them come into some of our churches, even what we call some of our good fundamental Bible churches, Baptist Bible churches today, I'm afraid a lot of them would sit back and scratch their head and say, okay, I'm afraid you've got the problem. You've become too carnally minded. Oh, God, help us this morning. God, help me. And God, help you today. Thank God that we get our mind upon spiritual things. We're more interested. Oh, I may just preach right here anyhow. I may not get done with this morning. We're more interested in what's going on in the world and than what God's wanting to do in our lives and wanting to do in the lives of others. We're more interested in the world than we are in seeing revival. We're more interested interested in the world than we are seeing people come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. God help us this morning. You say, preacher, it's just the time we're living in. Oh, friend, I don't have to fall into that trap. You don't have to fall into that trap. This church doesn't have to fall into that trap. Well, preacher, you need to start thinking different. We need to start modernizing things. We need to get different Bibles. We need to get different singing. We need to get different styles of worship. Listen to me, honey. I'm glad the old time way will still work. I'm glad the Word of God will still get the job done. I'm glad at the cross, where I first saw the light, will get the job done. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. There's power. There's power. There's wonderful working power in the blood of the Lamb of God. I'm telling you this morning, friend, we need to get back to being spiritually minded. Spiritually minded. Spiritually minded today if we want life in peace. You say, well, preacher, we can't draw the big crowd. I'd rather have a half a dozen or a dozen that love God, want to worship God, want to serve God, want to live for God, than to have the house full of people that all they got on their mind is the carnal things of this world. You say, well, preacher, I thought you said you wanted to see the church pews full. Oh, I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it, Brother Otis. Wouldn't bother me a bit if some of you had to drag out chairs. Amen. Just tickle this preacher to death. But I'm not going to compromise to get it. Amen. There's too many people that's changed their thought process simply because of everybody else is doing it. Well, just because everybody else is doing it don't make it right. Well, preacher, we'll get left behind. Well, praise God, honey, when the rapture takes place, I won't get left behind. I hope you won't either. But I'm afraid some of these folks out here today claiming this and claiming that, I'm afraid if they don't get right with God, they're going to be left behind. There's a battle going on for our minds, for our thought processes. It does matter. People says it don't matter what I think. It sure does. It sure does. To the Christian today, there needs to be a continual renewing. There needs to be the thought process of not being carnally minded. And thirdly, we need to be Christ minded. Amen. Well, preacher, that's not possible for us. Yeah, it is. Because the same Paul that wrote to the church here at Rome writes to the church at Philippi. And he gives them this verse of scripture here in Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That mind of service, that mind of sacrifice, that mind of faithfulness. I'm telling you, that God, we need that spiritual mind today as we begin our thought process because it does matter. It does matter. It does matter. It's amazing how the old devil works. He comes around and says, nobody don't love you. And, I mean, just all kinds of things. Boy, he's a liar and the father of all lies. I'm afraid he's convinced most of the people sitting in the church who saved good people. But what's the use, preacher? What's the use? I believe we're seeing a time of, as Paul's writing here, he's talking about times of apostasy, a times of falling away. And I believe we're right in amongst of those times. People don't want to be taught. People don't want to be taught. People don't want to be preached to. Who does he think he is preaching to me? Praise God, I know what's best for me. I know what's best for me. No, you don't. Without God this morning, you don't know what's best. I don't know what's best. So for the Christian today, as we think about this battle for our minds, these are minds that we must surrender to God and His will and to His Word and to His way. Because there needs to be a continual renewing There needs to be that place in our life that we're just not going to be carnally minded. Because if we are carnally minded, we will perform carnal acts. I mean, you're not supposed to preach against nothing anymore. Amen. Don't you be preaching against that sin, preacher. Don't you be telling me how I ought to be faithful to God and His house and His work. Amen. Don't you be preaching to me like that. Well, friend, you landed in the wrong place. Because now this preacher ain't afraid of you. I love you. And I want to help you. I'm here to help you this morning. I love you. And I want to help you. I not only want to help you, but I want to help your family. I want to help your children. I want to help your grandchildren today. And friend, I'll tell you what. All I'm trying to do is give you some direction for your life where you begin to think upon heavenly things, upon spiritual things, and get your mind out of the gutters of this world this morning. No wonder we're not having a move of God. No wonder we're not having real worship. We call them worship services, but half the time I've seen funerals had more life in them. Hey, man. Yeah, I had gunpowder for breakfast. It's all right. It's good. A little rough going down, but praise God. Think about the thought process of people today. It sickens me. It sickens me. I mean, you can't even watch the news. Hey, they don't report news anymore. They just sit around and debate it all day. Amen. They got to get the liberal way of thinking. They got to get the conservative way of thinking. Then they're trying to get somebody in the middle of the road. And the liberal thinking of people of this day, if it sickens me, and even some of the other thinking, I'll just be honest with you, does as well. But I think about, if it sickens me, I just wonder how it sickens God. Don't get caught up in that mess. Again, where God's put a period, don't ever put a question mark. Abortion is still wrong. It's still killing babies. It's still murder. Homosexuality is still wrong. Hallelujah. It's an abomination. Oh, preacher, they can get saved. Oh, yes, they can. And thank God, that's the only thing that will get them out of it. That's the only thing that will bring them out of it. You say, preacher, should we be mean? Absolutely not. I'm telling you, we ought to love them to Jesus if there's any way possible. But at the end of the day, it's still wrong. It's still wrong. It's still wrong. Here in the state of North Carolina, they'll really like this when I put this one on the radio, won't they? I'm surprised they ain't kicked me off, may after this. But in the state of North Carolina, in which I love, I'm glad, thank God, to live in North Carolina. But in the state of North Carolina, they have to pass a law to tell you which bathroom you can go to. You're exactly right. You hit the nail right on the head and drove her home. See what I'm trying to say? Their minds have become warped. They're messed up this morning. When I went to school, you'd have tried any of that junk. You'd either got whipped, took to the principal's office, and mom and daddy called. Every week in the news is talking about teachers having relations with students. What's happened, preacher? We've got warped in our minds. There's things that come on the TV set in primetime TV today that 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, you'd have cut it off. But now you have just become so adopted to it that you just go ahead and let it play anyhow. Hey, man. What's happened? We've let the devil change our thought process. God help us this morning. God help us. That we'd have enough backbone and enough courage, irregardless of what the liberals say, irregardless of what any of the politicians say, even what some of the religious leaders might say, that we'll stand on what God's put a period on.
Amen.
I ain't even half done this morning. Praise God. Because there's a battle for the mind. There needs to be a continual renewing. There needs to be that place where we'll not be carnal minded, that we'd be spiritual minded, and then we need to be Christ minded. I want to talk to the non-Christian here for just a few moments this morning. That's for the saved. Now I want to talk to the unsaved here for just a few moments. I don't know if there's anybody here today. And you say, preacher, everybody in this place is saved today. Well, that'd be my prayer, but I don't know that. There could be somebody here today. There could be more than one here today. That you've let the devil mess with your mind and convince you that what that preacher's preaching is hogwash. What that preacher's preaching, I don't need that. Well, I'll tell you something, friend. It's not what I say, but it's what the book says.
Amen.
That you need this morning.
Right.
It's not my opinion, nor an opinion of anybody else. It's what God says, what God puts a period on. You better pay attention to.
Amen.
The devil has sold so many people a counterfeit this morning. Now, that's not God doing that. God wants you to know. And there's one thing about it, preacher. If you and I know, it'll change the way we think. It'll change the way we live. It'll change the way we deal with people. It'll change our whole thought process. Now, you'll find in the text this morning that I read into your hearing, to the unsaved, to the apostate, to the guilty world before us today, and we're all at one time in that same position of being unsaved. I want to say to you, friend, that could be here today, and for us that are Christians, another reason I feel like the Lord's placed this upon my heart for this particular time is because you and I have to deal with these with folks on a daily basis that think way differently than what we think. And so we have to be prepared. We have to be prepared, not with our opinions, but with what God says. Well, preacher, I can't change the way my family member thinks or my friend thinks or my co. No, you can't. But God can. God can. But I want to say, not only to the unsaved, but to the Christian as well this morning, be careful what you let influence your mind. Because again, it will ultimately determine what you believe. Now, we find here quickly this morning in these verses of Scripture, in verse 21. I want you to notice a particular word there in verse 21. Because that when they knew God. And you say, well, preacher, does that mean that they were saved and then they got lost? No, that's not what that means. That word knew there, as used in the text of our King James Bibles this morning, it means to be aware of. It means to have knowledge. It means to perceive. It means to understand. And Paul, in this very writing, is letting us know that nature itself is teaching us that there's a God, that there is a power far greater than man has today. Now, again, you can receive that or you can reject that. That's entirely up to you. But again, what you let influence your mind will ultimately determine what you believe. And I would say to our parents here, our grandparents, anybody that deals with children or young people, please, for God's sake this morning, be careful, be careful, be careful what you let influence your young people. Because the devil's trying to rob and steal every one of them he can get. Don't you shut them up in their rooms with that computer. and not monitor what they're doing, who they're hanging around with, what they're listening to. Amen. Statistics say right now that the majority of the young people coming through the local assembly of believers, the local church, by the time they reach 16, 17, 18 years old, they're already gone. They may be here in body, but you've already lost them because of the liberal teachings and the things that have influenced the minds. Brother Archie, I can remember coming up. I mean, we may have went through that stuff in school, but I didn't remember it. Probably because I didn't study real good, but I've never had a problem believing there was a God.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying I didn't. I've not always known Him. I think it saved us 20 years old. But Brother Kent had enough sense to know that there was a God.
Yes.
I mean, I could just look up at the sky and the trees and the mountains and all that God's created. No, there's a God. But see, when you begin to introduce evolution, you begin to introduce psychology, and you begin to introduce philosophy. And so they want to do this when they're young. Because it's a proven fact. If you can get them when they're young, you can indoctrinate them when they're young, you've got them. I'm trying to keep some of you out of hell. I'm trying to keep some of your family out of hell this morning. Because there is such a place. You need to be careful what you let influence your mind. I've got to move quickly here. I want you to notice in these verses of Scripture, all the way to verse number 32, and I would encourage you to go read the remaining part of this chapter, but I want you to notice the progression of rejection of the truth. Notice not only that they knew God, in other words, they were aware of it, they had knowledge of it, they perceived it, they understood it. But then notice what verse 21 says. Because they knew that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Notice not only did they not glorify Him, but, and we see the progression of rejection, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. We're living in the most unthankful world that we've ever lived in. Amen. Again, where God puts a period, you don't have to put no question mark. Notice the progression. They knew, they understood there was a God, but they glorified Him not as God. In other words, they didn't give Him any honor for who He is. I mean, we're trying to run God off. They glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Notice again in the verse, but became vain in their imaginations. That word imaginations means reasonings. People are not reasonable anymore. You know, when I was growing up, there was a thing that everybody used in the country, and most of you folks grew up in the country like I did, and the word was simply this, just good old common horse sense. Huh? How many people heard that? Well, I'm telling you what, it's getting hard to find. I mean, the horse got more sense than most people. Amen. Animals has got more sense than most people. And God made us a unique creature, a finite creature. He didn't make us like that. But notice the progression of rejection. The reasoning. Man, the reasoning of people today. I mean, it's just like opening up a newspaper. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Notice in verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So we see that They knew God, but they glorified not his God. Vain their imaginations, foolish hearts is darkened. And then we see professing him fails to be wise. People think they're smart, don't they? Oh, they think they're so smart. And they ain't got enough sense to look up at the sky and see that there's a God. Lord, help us. And then we see it progresses to idolatry. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man. And the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Do you understand today that as far as religion is concerned around the world, and I don't like to use that word, but around the world today, that there's all kinds of gods set up everywhere? When I was in India, and I've told it here before, but and probably said it many times, but it was unreal. Everything to them is a god. Just like old Jonah was. He's on this boat with the unbelievers. And boy, they're going to pray to their gods. Their gods can't do nothing. But I'm glad there's one that can. Amen. Boy, there's a great picture and all that. And I don't have time to share that this morning, but idolatry. A football, a baseball, a fishing rod, a boat, a four-wheeler, a car, a house, children. Notice the progression. The new God, they understood there was a God, but they glorified him not, were unthankful. I mean, we just see the progression. Idolatry. And then, I don't have time this morning, but it gets down to, God says, I'll tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to turn him over to a reprobate mind. Now, I'm telling you, friend, you ought to really perk your ears up right here. When God writes over your doorpost, reprobate mind, you're done. You're done. Oh, but preacher, God's a loving God, and boy, he is. God's a long-suffering God, and boy, he is. God's a compassionate God, and yes, he is. But you keep turning him away. You keep turning him away. You keep turning him away. You keep following the progression of the rejection. And one day, you could be turned over to a reprobate mind. And I'm afraid today there are more people like that than we want to admit. I don't want to admit that this morning. The preacher says as long as there's breath in their body, there's hope, and there is. The thief on the cross proved that. But you keep turning him away. You keep turning what you keep thinking in your mind opposite of what God has established in his word, and one day he'll say, I'm done. So now we come to the thought process, how does people do what they do today? I'm afraid some of them have been turned over to that reprobate mind. The word reprobate this morning simply means to be unapproved. It means to be rejected. It means to be worthless. It means to be cast away. Friend, God's not wanting to cast you away. He's wanting you to come to him. And what you believe, what you think, what you let into your mind will determine what you believe. We'll give you three very simple things and I'm done. Three very simple things, and I want you to get them this morning. I want you to think about those things that affects your minds. First of all, the things that you look at. Paul gives it to us here. Because, in verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now you can sit there and think you got it all figured out. But I'm going to promise you today, you don't, nor does anybody else. These preachers been preaching this book way longer than I have. But they don't have it all figured out either. You're talking about an omnipotent God, an omniscient God, omnipresent God, an all-knowing God, an all-powerful God, a holy God. So be careful what you look at. You can walk outside and see there's a God. But then the other things that you let come into your mind, the books you read, the programs you watch, it will affect your mind. Secondly, I've got to get done. Some of you just dying for me too, anyhow, I can tell. The things that affect your mind is not only what you look at, but secondly, what you listen to. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you want to know God, get in His book, get under some preaching, get under some teaching, and I'm telling you what, God will and can reveal Himself to you. But people are polluting their minds with all kinds of things that they listen to. Some of our young people think they can listen to rock music and it not affect them. When they talk about drugs and sex and rock and roll. It will affect them.
Amen.
The things that we look at, the things that we listen to, and thirdly, and I'm done. I would like to get in a little deeper to these thoughts, but I don't have time this morning. But what you look at, what you listen to, and thirdly, I want you to get this. The things that will influence your mind, and are the things that you look at, the things you listen to, but who or what you allow to lead you. Are you hearing me? Preacher, I ain't letting nobody lead me. Oh, come on, get off of that trip. Somebody's leading you. Somebody's influencing your life. And if you want to keep the right way of thinking, you better be careful who you listen to. Who that you follow. Who that you set up on an image of a hero. Image. Amen. Let your hero be Jesus today. Because He is a hero. He's never been defeated. He's never lost a battle. He's eternal. He's promised me things that He can fulfill. He can jump tall buildings in a single bound. And there is no kryptonite. Say amen, Miss Wilma.
Amen.
Because there's a battle going on for your mind. And again, what you let your mind be exposed to will determine what you believe. I encourage you to go and read the remaining part of this chapter. Because this progression, it gets worse. Amen?
Yeah.
Don't be one of these that Paul's writing about today. Come to Jesus. Give your mind and your heart to Jesus. Give your mind to the things of God. Give your mind to the Word of God. Give your mind to the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Well, preacher, does that mean we can't look at other things? I'm not saying that. God gives this world to us for us to enjoy. Amen. But He wants us to enjoy it in a manner that is Christ-like.
Amen.
Let this mind be in you which is also in. Christ Jesus. Let's stand to our feet all over the building this morning. Brother Scott, you come and give us a song of invitation. Today, what are you letting influence your mind? What are you listening to? What are you looking at? Who are you letting lead you? Because it ultimately affects how and what we think. What you got for us, brother? 157. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the precious Word of God. And Lord, I realize this very day as I stand here in this pulpit, Lord, amongst this great people, that, Lord, that I'm not even worthy, Lord, to stand in this place today. But Lord, I thank you for the opportunity and the privilege. I thank you for your Word. And Lord, the best I know how, I've tried to preach what you've put upon my heart today. And Lord, I don't know anybody's heart here this morning but my own. Lord, if there's somebody here today lost, God, I pray. God, I pray you'd open up their mind. I pray you'd open up their eyes. I pray you'd open up their heart. And Lord, this day, help them to see their need of you. And then, Lord, even as Christians here today, Lord, let us be very careful. Let us be mindful of the things that we let infiltrate our minds. Because I realize Satan's like that roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. To get those seeds of doubt and discouragement and even depression sown into the hearts and minds of even believers today. God, you don't want us living like that. Lord, you've been too good to us. Lord, help us today that, again, if there's anybody here that needs to come, maybe they've let some things influence their mind. Lord, I don't know. I've just tried to preach what you put on my heart. And Lord, I put it in your hands today, your very capable hands. And I pray, help us to be obedient. Lord, take the invitation, use it. And Lord, we'll thank you, praise you for what you're going to do. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. As we sing together.